Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. I'm going to talk to you about why low-ticket dropshipping is very difficult these days and why it's kind of dead. So if this is your first time listening to this podcast, definitely get my free high-ticket dropshipping niches list at ecommerceparadise.com/niches. All right, let's get into it. So what low-ticket dropshipping is and kind of the way it works usually is that you have to pick some sort of a product that's either winning on somebody else's website already or that you find on AliExpress that seems like it has a lot of potential, but usually you work the other way. So you find like a winning product, some Facebook ad or something like that that seems like it's performing really well, and a website that seems like it's really well optimized, something that looks like it's getting a lot of sales. And then you try to source that thing on AliExpress.com, and you then create your own website, create your own ad that's similar, and start launching it and hopefully get some sales. Now, the reason why people have been doing this pretty profitably for a while is because for a long time, since 2015, Facebook ads were fairly cheap, and you could reach a wide audience based on an interest, and you could retarget that same audience, and you could definitely make some sales, and the margins are pretty high. When you're dealing with Chinese manufacturers directly, the price for the cost of goods sold is very, very low, because in China, they have almost practically slave labor building their products. And so what that means is that since they're a communist government, everybody kind of has most of their regular livelihoods paid for, and so they don't have to pay their people very much. Now, this is changing slowly over time. Parts of China are seeing a lot higher income now, which is great. But for a long time, it was like that. And so let's just use the example of like some sort of a desktop accessory that costs normally like $30 or $40, maybe $50. Okay. You could probably source a similar desktop accessory on AliExpress for around like $5 or less usually. And you know, that doesn't include shipping, but that is one at a time. So you can actually drop ship one at a time and use, you know, the best shipping service they provide, which is usually kind of like the Chinese version of the postal service in the US. And they ship to the United States, it switches over to the US Postal Service, and then they deliver it to the customer. So that's usually it. The margins, you know, in that case are pretty high. So you can afford to run some paid ad spend. But the problem here is that you're choosing a product that's generic, right? So it's not a branded product. So there's no brand recognition. What you're doing is you're marketing to people based on the assumption that they're going to want to buy this product even though it doesn't have a brand name associated with it, okay? So you're going to push them as hard as possible to bring them as much social proof as possible through the advertising campaign and on the website so that it feels like it has some sort of the same recognition that brand normally has. The reason why you consider brand recognition as brand recognition is because it has social proof. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody uses it or wears it or whatever, and it's a well-recognized brand because they've sold a lot and they've gotten a lot of reviews, positive reviews and whatnot. Okay, so that's where brand recognition comes from. You want to kind of mimic that with your website. And we do that still in high-ticket dropshipping. We mimic brand recognition even with like generic brands, like brands that aren't really name brands, like well-known name brands or like off-brands or whatever. And we mimic that. We help that brand spread their brand recognition by providing social proof, okay? But with low-ticket dropshipping, you're dealing with products that have absolutely no brand name, okay? They're being built directly by the Chinese manufacturer. You, by doing dropshipping directly from China, are the supplier. So you are assuming all of the risk for that particular product. If it arrives damaged or broken, you are the one that has to accept the return back. You're not working with the supplier to do that. The Chinese supplier certainly is not going to accept the return back. So usually you want to pick a cheap enough product so that if it does get damaged, you just refund the customer in full and forget about the profits and let the product go. Let them keep the product, whatever it is, because it only costs you like $5 or $10 to fulfill and deliver, right? So it isn't going to be a huge hit to your bottom line. And usually when you're doing this business model, you want to focus on volume, right? You want to get as many sales as possible because that's going to bring you enough profit to make a full-time income. You're going to have to get like probably upwards of hundreds of sales a day in order to have like a nice profitable business. And a certain percentage of those are going to be returns. And you're going to have problems with suppliers because sometimes suppliers on AliExpress, you know, they don't deliver the same product that are advertised on the website. You find that a lot, okay? The quality is actually a lot lower. And you're not usually ordering a sample first to double check. You know, you're just going ahead and choosing a product and shipping it. So the customer might get some crap product that they thought they were going to get a nice product for. picture is of a nicer version, and when they manufacture and ship it, it's actually a cheaper version. So that happens. Sometimes suppliers just drop out completely, or you're working with like a supplier agent, not actually the supplier themselves, an agent that is another middleman. They might just drop out and disappear. So you constantly have to be like finding suppliers and looking for good suppliers, and also like, you know, replacing suppliers, looking for alternative suppliers, that kind of thing. It's a pain in the butt, and can run into a lot of issues in the long run. Now, the thing about selling generic products without a brand name is that even though you're building social proof on your website, maybe a brand name for your website, you're really not selling any kind of a branded product, so you're not really building an asset in of the product itself, okay? A lot of the reasons why people start with dropshipping in the first place is because it's a low upfront investment business model. You know, you don't have to buy 100 or 200 or 1,000 of the actual product before you even start selling it, okay? When someone starts a business model like Amazon FBA, where they order upfront, they ship it to the Amazon warehouse, Amazon sells it and fulfills it for them. They just have to do customer service. They actually have to buy the product up front, right? So you always, in that business model, you would want to make sure you got a sample, because you have to buy 1,000 of them or whatever. So you have to invest a bit of money. And with that sample, you want to make sure the supplier is actually going to have the same quality with the rest of the products, obviously. And since you're buying up front, you might as well brand the product. You know, if you just sold it generic, you would be throwing away the potential for building a brand, which any brand that has brand recognition that people recognize, that people buy just because they like the brand, has an asset value to it. Okay, people can value that and sell that actual brand recognition later on. So with that said, it's always better, obviously, if you have no money to just start dropshipping. But if you have money to invest, I always recommend doing it the private label route, at least in the beginning, so you have some sort of a brand name that's unique. Because if you have a unique brand name on a product, it just adds so much more, you know, value to it. And you can value that, and the value will rise over time. So that is something that your business will thrive with later on. You know, a lot of people start with dropshipping and don't ever stop, and they think, you know, it's just kind of a losing business model because they never brand a product. Well, that's true. Like, you have to move on. You have to move from just dropshipping up into branded products, because branded products is where you solidify your business from competitors. See, competitors oftentimes, when they enter dropshipping, they can copy everything you have, but they can't copy your brand name. Your brand name is a copyright. You could even get a trademarked. You know, you spend a few hundred bucks or whatever at the trademark office, you get a trademark for it. And that way, they can't copy your brand name. They can't copy your brand name. They can try to knock it off, but then you can sue them or whatever, or send them a cease and desist letter and they'll stop. Okay, so having a brand name that's recognizable enough to have a trademark is a huge asset to a business. And especially when you have a lot of social proof and a lot of recognition around that, built maybe through social media, or, you know, obviously through video would be great, and content, other types of content. But yeah, with the basic dropshipping model, AliExpress from China, all that good stuff, it's a neat place to start. You get to learn kind of like what product categories are trending, what types of products are trendy, but really it's not a place to like build a sustainable business model out of. You know, a lot of like business brokers, for instance, when they go to value a business, if you're doing dropshipping from AliExpress, they're not even going to mess with you because it's just not a sustainable model. One of the reasons why it's not sustainable is because of the essentials behind it, the foundation of it. Foundation number one, I just talked about, you don't actually build a brand around your product. So there's nothing that's sellable. If you were to actually do private labeling and build a brand and buy them in bulk and sell them through your Shopify store, the same way with Facebook ads, or sell them on Amazon using FBA, then you have a brand. Then that is actually a liquidable asset, something that an investor might even buy. You know, it's something that's going to be more long-term, something they can expect returns on year after year, because you have a brand name and some recognition in the marketplace and you've built that, right? Okay, so that's one of the best ways to do it. The other way, the reason why it's unsustainable usually, is because with low ticket products, in unbranded low ticket products, generic low ticket products, you're not really being able to target search queries. Okay, so you can't use search engine traffic as well as profitably as you can with branded products and with high ticket products. Low ticket unbranded products, the problem is you can only target generic search queries. These are queries people that type in aren't really going to buy right now. Okay, and sometimes they do, but oftentimes it could be quite expensive to rank to the top of a very competitive generic search query in Google. The cost per click can be really high. And so it doesn't really prove profitable for a generic unbranded product. If you had a branded product, you could target that brand query, which has much less search volume, especially if you're the only one that sells it online because it's your brand. And people that actually type that into Google because they saw you on social media, they saw you in someone else's YouTube channel or whatever, then they're going to see your ad for it pop up right away. It's going to cost you close to nothing because you basically are the only person selling it. And you can rank for that and you can sell it right away through their shopping ads, right? But if you aren't doing that, you have to pay way higher for the generic search volume because there's a lot of competitors trying to rank for the same generic keywords because they don't have branding, right? And so it can be very expensive in the long run. That's one reason why you can't really run search engine traffic, paid search engine traffic, for generic, unbranded, and low price products using, you know, AliExpress dropshipping. You have a house of cards, let's just say. You know, it's a very weak foundation of a business model when you start that way. You don't have any authorized dealer agreements. You have suppliers that are shady and low quality suppliers. You're not ordering, you know, samples up front. You don't have any kind of brand recognition built into it. And you're basically just counting that somebody from Facebook with an interest in that product category might just decide to make a purchase on impulse, right? And, you know, it's just kind of up and down and, you know, all over the place. And some products might do good for a little bit, but the problem is that ads get old and, you know, you have to come up with new ad copy and new advertising things all the time. And you find a winning product, you know, it might go out of stock. You know, that you might get so many sales that it goes out of stock, and then boom, your business is gone. You know, so you have to be constantly trying to source new find new winning products, source the suppliers for them, create more engaging ads and new ads and stuff like that, and then also provide good customer service for your customers and avoid chargebacks. It's a big pain in the butt, right? And it's one of those models where it's easy to blow all of your profit on ad spend, and it's easy to lose a lot of money with chargebacks and refunds and returns and stuff like that. And you're not really building anything for the long run, okay? Even the brand recognition of your store, usually the stores that people start in this business model are just like these really crappy generic stores. These generic, broad stores. They don't have any niche. They don't have any branding barely that is recognizable. No one's going to like come back to that store because it doesn't really provide them much value, especially if it's all over the place, right? So just think about like what brand are you actually building when you build a store like that? You got to be building a brand somehow, either through the product or through the store as a retailer, right? Or through social media as a community, some kind of brand that people can recognize, okay? So with high ticket dropshipping, for instance, you're selling branded products. These are either well-known name brands or off brands that are a little more generic, not well-known, but you're getting authorized dealer accounts with suppliers of these name brand products. And the best thing about that is that they're always going to be selling similar products, either the same products year after year, or they're going to be discontinuing and coming up with new products, but they're similar categories. They do all that work, though. They find out what winning products are. They develop those products. They're usually big, heavy products. They warehouse them, and they fulfill them. So all you have to do with high-ticket dropshipping is get an account, or set up a website first. Get an account with them, right? And then list their products on your store, using their brand name, the model names, the SKU numbers, and, you know, create a really keyword-rich description, all that. Set up Google Shopping and Google Ads so that it targets those keywords that are in your product, the brand names, the model names, the SKU numbers, and you'll get that super targeted traffic, the people that are looking for those products that just want to shop around and get the best deal on them, okay? That brand has already done all the work for brand recognition, right, in their industry. They go to trade shows. They put a bunch of money into catalogs and other, you know, promotional materials, and they work with all sorts of people in their industry to get their brand name out there. You just have to do the end selling and the customer service, right, and follow up. And it's really, really simple. So, you know, this business model works amazingly because of that fact alone. Now, with high-ticket dropshipping, you can actually upsell accessories and things like that with the products you sell. So if you sell like a $1,000 desk, right, and you want to upsell an accessory, you can just source it from somewhere like Amazon.com and ship it with Prime, right, and 2-day free shipping, boom, they get their free gift, or they get their like $100, whatever it is, you know, like laptop stand or something. But you can also then go and source that product the same way you would do with like an Amazon FBA business model from an Alibaba supplier, get a sample, make sure it's good quality, figure out a nice brand that's unique to you, you know, like a unique brand name you can brand it with, order that thing in bulk, set up a separate Shopify store just to sell that product, and then list it as an upsell on the high ticket product pages, right? And provide all the info on that, maybe even provide a discount or maybe even provide it as a free gift if it's something that's really unique. And that's going to be really, really good for your business in the long run, because your competitors will not be able to sell that product unless you provide with them an authorized dealer account for you as a supplier. Now, is there more risk upfront inherent in this business model? Of course there is. You are the supplier of this product. So if anything goes wrong, you need to have some insurance to back you up as a business. You need to be protected as an LLC. You also need to, fulfill and ship out those products somehow. So you got to have a fulfillment center. But for the long run, you're building brand equity. You're building an asset that is ultimately going to be worth a lot more money in the long run for you as a business and for someone else, maybe as an investor, if you wanted to sell your business in the future. It's something that you can then use as a unique selling proposition, a competitive proposition that, you know, your customers will recognize as unique, that your competitors do not have. They might be able to copy and find a generic, but they don't have that brand of product. So if you work on building brand recognition, it's one of the most powerful things in e-commerce these days, you know, and using social media for that is great. And, you know, influencer marketing, basically using other people's social media, other people's YouTube channels, other people's blogs, and having an affiliate program, that's one of the best ways to get free, really, really good traffic to your website. People that are referred over that like already know and recognize that influencer and then see them using your product. And then they want that product just because that person they know, like, and love and respect and trust uses your product. And that's exactly what you want. You want that kind of traffic. You want people that already have that built-in know, like, and trust factor with your referral traffic, right? So that's one of the best ways to build a business, guys. And building a low-ticket dropshipping generic store, just, you know, cheaping out on all different sides, just trying to make a quick buck, it's usually going to lead to failure, okay? Not making much of a profit. If anything, might even lose money, okay? And you're going to say, man, dropshipping doesn't work. Well, if you do it that way, yeah, it doesn't work. That stuff doesn't work. It's, you know, it's like that in every business. If you cheap out in a business, it's just not going to work. You got to go all in. Okay. You got to do it the right way. You got to model success. So find somebody else who is successful out there and model after what they're doing. Everything they do, their look, their feel, their community, and, you know, their sales and their promotional processes. And you'll probably become more successful. Okay. High ticket dropshipping, of course, requires some things that low ticket does not. Like, you got to have enough credit available to be able to purchase the cost of goods sold when you sell it. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait until, you know, the payment hits your checking account, which can be a matter of days. That adds even more days onto the shipping time. And, you know, customers can get pissed off after that. So it's a smart idea to have a credit card that has a high credit limit before you start high ticket dropshipping. It just makes everything way easier. And if you don't, then, you know, you probably need to fix your credit before you get into that kind of a business model, okay? And if you can't, you need to find some kind of outside investor, someone who you can partner with that has good credit. You can build a partnership business with them, okay? That's what I did in the very beginning. I got a partner who was, you know, in his mid-50s, and I was in my mid-20s, and it was a perfect partnership because I was ready to do all the work. I just needed his, you know, credit, and he allowed me to do that. We did 50-50, shared the profits. Worked out for a few different, like 3 to 4 years until it just grew out of it, and we split up, but it was a good time. And I was excited, and he got me far enough to where I was able to then build my credit slowly over time. And now I had my own credit card. So I set out on my own. In the last 5 years, I've been using my own credit to build and run my businesses. And it's been going great. So that's what you should do if you're in that situation as well. There's also obviously some more responsibility with selling high ticket products and low ticket products. Every single order matters. You won't have to deal with it as many orders, but every order, you know, really requires like some more, you know, hand holding and, you know, obviously it's just some follow-up, you know, some caring. So you've got to build into your business like a method of follow-up and caring and, you know, future service, that kind of thing. And then every customer that buys a high ticket product from you most likely will come back and buy more in the future, right? If they need more of those high ticket products, or they'll refer you to their friends and whatnot, and your business will grow slowly, organically that way. And paid ads are a lot more profitable because you can target really, really narrow search terms and bid really high on them. And when you make an order, you know, your profit is very high. So even if your ad spend is like maybe $50 a day, if you make an order, it's usually like $200-$400 per order on average or more. Then you're very profitable, even if you only make an order every few days to begin with, right? And then later on, once you build your site and has more content, more social proof, more community, more recognition, then you're going to be able to build a lot wider than that and start bidding more on ads, and, you know, your business will basically snowball. So I'm really, a huge advocate of high-ticket dropshipping to start with. I think that it's always great to build your own brand in the long run, to reinvest into your business. So never forget, the way businesses usually grow is that you make profits in the beginning, but you don't take those out and spend it on your lifestyle. You actually reinvest it into the business. You continue to live a meager lifestyle until your business snowballs, has a huge amount of cash reserves, and then you can reinvest even more. So business is just all about parlaying profits, okay? Don't like take out all your money and just go blow it, because then you're going to be stuck in square one again. You want to parlay profits to reinvest in your business, and then eventually parlay profits into investing in maybe other businesses through like dividend stock investing or maybe real estate investing, that kind of stuff, and diversify your portfolio of investments that will pay you back dividends in the future. Okay. And there's lots of different ways you can do that. That's an episode for another podcast episode. But yeah, hopefully you guys understand the unfortunate, drop shipping guru thing out there is like, hey, just, drop ship cheap generic products from AliExpress with Facebook ads. You're going to make a ton of money. No, fortunately, it's not true. Maybe a few people succeed for like a month and then that's it. So don't believe all the fake gurus and the screenshots and the BS lifestyles, and their rented Lambos and rented private jets and rented clothing. It's just so fake. Don't fall victim to smoke and mirrors. I think it's easy to assume, make assumptions via social media that, people are living a lavish lifestyle, and kind of makes you wonder, and it gives you this FOMO feeling. But that's really what they're trying to do exactly, is just get you into like some kind of a dropshipping program, high ticket dropshipping, course of theirs that teaches you how to do exactly that, low ticket, generic and Facebook ads, and it's just like a recipe for failure. So don't fall victim to that. And if you want some real training on a real business model that's actually sustainable, go check out my free resources, the niches list at ecommerceparadise.com/niches, and get out my free mini course for dropshipping, ecommerceparadise.com/mini course. And you can find all sorts of good resources on my website, just ecommerceparadise.com. I have a high-ticket dropshipping masterclass, as well as a turnkey done-for-you service where I build you out the whole business for you. I've been doing this for many years. I have a few of these profitable stores of my own right now, doing quite well, and I'm really happy about it. And I have a whole virtual assistant team running these stores now, because it's really the way to go in the long run. And doing everything I talk about in the courses, building out my own brands and having everything go. And the deal is, I build my training materials to help my community. Like the same videos I make, I actually use to train my VAs with, and the community that is actually a paid members of the masterclass, they can use those videos in the course to actually train their VAs with. So it's pretty sweet, and it's definitely something worth watching and learning about. Okay, so get in there, guys, and definitely subscribe to the podcast. And if you don't mind, I would really appreciate if you could review the podcast as well. Leaving a review means that more people will get to see and listen to the content, and that matters a lot, because I want to help as many people as possible become location independent, have more options in life, and just get out of that like 9-to-5 month-to-month rat race grind where you're always trying to make ends meet and stuff. With this business model, you're always ahead of the game, and that's the best part. Okay, so I want to help you guys, and hopefully, when this pandemic is all over, later 2020, maybe might take longer than that, but we'll start traveling again, and we're really excited to host some sort of an event. I've been out in Bali for a long time. Bali is an awesome place, but there's a lot more places that I want to go and travel and explore on Earth. So hope to see some of you guys out there. Definitely join my free community on Facebook at ecommerceparadise.com/group. It's a free Facebook group for the high-ticket dropshipping community. And get in there and introduce yourself and hang out. Thanks for listening, and talk to you in the next episode. Take care.